Hello once again, everybody. There's long been a popular exclamation, what we won't do for our pets. Well, I'm touching upon that today with a rather new and trending topic, one that's gaining traction among pet owners. Did you know that 66% of households in America, nearly 87 million households, include a pet? And we love our pets, don't we? In response to those numbers, and to our hearts, and most likely in the right thing to do category, pet estate planning is rising in popularity. Think about it. A regular or human estate plan determines the distribution of your assets at death, but our pets are more than just property. Without proper planning, pets could end up in shelters or with individuals who may not understand or be equipped to meet your pet's special needs. Pet estate planning would have you considering who will watch over them and establish proper funding for their care. And that can now be a critical element of an estate plan. How do we create such a plan? What are the options avenues available for pet estate planning? Let's talk about some of our legal tools that are available to us. Well, you could consider language in your will. In this instance, you may consider your pet's needs all the way to their end of life and contingencies like, does that breed of dog have bad hips? There's a long lifespan with many species of birds, and you're considering what you would like to have done for their care. In a will, you could designate a beneficiary caretaker. You could talk with and designate a beneficiary caretaker. Of course, you'd want to confirm that the person you name is up to the task and accepts the responsibility. It's also a good idea to name an alternate caretaker to take over in case your designated person can't keep your pet. For example, you may have carefully designated Don as your beneficiary caretaker to take care of your beloved Sheltie if something ever happened to you. But 4 years after your death, Don finds that he must move into housing that will not allow the pup. Your alternate Ron could then assume the role. In a will, you can designate money, designate a budget. The amount you set aside for your pet's care should encompass the current and potential expenses, including routine veterinary appointments, food, grooming, medications, specialty treatments, pet insurance premiums, and a cushion for emergencies. Consider your pet carefully in terms of lifespan. You know, it's well known that there are long lifespans of horses and birds and certain breed ailments later in life, such as hip dysplasia or arthritis is often seen in larger breeds of dogs. It's suggested that you overestimate your pet's lifespan. Now, there's some drawbacks to using a will as your tool. It's not immediate, especially if the will has to go through probate, meaning there could be a lengthy period of time when your pet will not have any determined care. To avoid this, you may want to append a letter of final wishes to your will. Although that's not legally binding, this document could outline the special instructions for your family, including who should take immediate custody of your pet. With that, it may appear that this is a shaky bet. As a patient advocate, I approach any kind of care and planning with a what could go wrong approach. Just as in healthcare, I see that there are cracks to fall through. That seems to be the case if you're depending upon a will, but only you can best evaluate if this will work for you given your destinations of beneficiary caretakers. Now, you could also create a pet trust. With a trust, there are really two designations occurring. You designate a trustee separate from the caretaker who will carry out the terms. Through a trust, a trustee could oversee its assets, it pays the bills related to your pet's care, and it holds your pet's caretaker accountable to instructions. A trust also bypasses probate, so its terms can go into effect immediately. Now, there's fees involved and also taxes. With a trust, there may be additional fees to establish the trust, and you'd want to add that into your decision-making along with the age and the health of the pet and the dollar amount that you want to put aside. If you're considering a pet trust, you may also want to factor in the administrative costs, such as the cost of preparing a tax return each year and paying the trustee a fee. You also need to look at the differences state by state. Now, all 50 states and the District of Columbia have pet trust statutes. Primarily, they'll differ in the duration of the trust. Now, most states will terminate the trust after the death of the covered animal, but some states will specify a maximum number of years for the trust's existence. Most common is 21 years. A pet trust can be especially attractive option for owners of animals that have higher life expectancies, like horses, tortoises, and parrots. Look into your state's requirements. With a trust, you can also designate a remainder beneficiary should there be any funds left over after your pet's death. The remaining funds can either go to the caretaker or to anybody else you choose, including a nonprofit, as long as it's designated in the trust. You're essentially considering if this tool is a fit for your scenario and weighing in the costs of the trust versus the level of oversight that this tool can provide. As a patient advocate, I'm always talking about the importance of preparing our own legal documents for several reasons. With advanced planning, this is how you retain your power. This is how you state and enable your wishes and who will help you carry them out. Pardon me. Legal documents, although sometimes daunting, actually create a sense of order. They can bring peace of mind to you and your loved ones, to caregivers and providers. To me, they are a gift to give and a gift to receive. Mostly and simply, I recommend legal planning in response to one of my favorite sayings. We can all have a say about how things will go and where we'll end up. Looks like that saying can extend to our beloved pets as well. Allow me again to weigh in from a patient advocate point of view. In my work, I encounter a lot of people who are caught short in times of crisis or fast change. They are without having made decisions, nor are documents prepared. It doesn't mean that they hadn't thought about it, but I can tell you that I've encountered folks who have given no thought about what they want for themselves or their pets, much less have taken the opportunity to enable this through legal tools and documents. Did you pick up on that key word, opportunity? You have one here, if you so choose. Apply all this to our beloved pets. Have you considered their circumstances if or when something happens to you and you are unable to care for them in the short term, the long term, or no longer? Please allow me to take a moment to weave in some important information about the human aspects of planning. There's a national day coming up this month in April that would have our minds on this kind of thing. On April 16th, every year falls a very important day for me and for many, and that day is called NHDD, National Healthcare Decisions Day. NHDD is an initiative that exists to inspire, educate, and empower the public and providers about the importance of advanced care planning. Because of its importance to this patient advocate, you'll be hearing a lot from me during the month of April. So head on over to my Facebook page or follow me on LinkedIn as I talk about making healthcare decisions, about the absolute value of planning and creating your advanced directives. I will, and I always will, educate folks about how to think about what you want, and then how to get your legal ducks in a row, whether for ourselves or our pets. We do this to retain our power and independence, our say, and to communicate what we want to our very important people so they will know what our wishes are and what to do. What a gift to them and for their direction in carrying out our wishes. It's real peace for all concerned. What are our next steps? Returning now to our beloved pets and planning for and ensuring their care. They're part of the family, so we have to plan for them as the deserved and loved ones that they are. If you're feeling a tug to get your legal ducks in a row and need some help to get that done, I'm happy to help with this process, the thinking and then the action. I'm an old hand in assisting folks with their thinking and decisions using customized services in accordance with their unique circumstances and wishes. Here are your next steps as I see them. The next time you look at your beloved pet, your furry friend or otherwise, begin to think about what happens to them if you're unable to care for them temporarily or longer. Now you have some information which should get you started in the right direction for your pet's care. I hope that something that I've shared today helps you and your pets to move more comfortably forward in the future. Thanks, everybody.